Are you ready for the word tonight? Before we get into the word, I want to remind you about the gifts. God has given us gifts. Beyond the cross, we are to flow in the Holy Spirit. We prepare, we plan, we do the best that we can, and then we allow the Holy Ghost to lead us and to guide us. So I've seen even this week going out, visiting members in their workplace, in their offices, just going with a mission to empower, to bless, to see God move in their lives. And you see how God gives you visions, God gives you dreams, God gives you a word and unction. So let me touch on the three main categories of the Holy Spirit gifts in the New Testament church. Okay? So media, don't worry, I'm going to get to my notes. But God wants you to be empowered. If every person in this room here tonight, just every one of you, would say, Father, baptize me with your fire, and then you go in the Holy Ghost, life will be exciting. You will see how you'll be used by God. You'll see the results. So it's important that we operate in the gifts and that we obviously always are accountable and under the authority of the Scriptures. The Bible says you have to test the Spirit. You can't just allow anybody to prophesy over you. You can't just allow anybody to give you a word. You have to test that person. I mean, we had it many times growing up in the church. A visitor comes, no one knows the person, and the person starts prophesying. No, it doesn't work like that. If we don't know you, you don't have the right to speak over us. If the pastor invites a guest speaker, that's a bit different. It'll be in relationship. The gifts of God operate through relationship. That's why you need to be in relation. You need relationships in your life. You need Christians around you. How do you think God's going to get a word to you if you can't hear from God? If you're isolated. Isolation is not from God. So the spiritual gifts have to be awakened and activated in the home cells, under authority. I always tell people this. If you really feel you have a word for somebody, pretend you're saying it and their father is standing next to it, or Pastor Ut standing next to you. You're not just going to waffle and say nonsense. But the church needs to operate in the Holy Ghost, in the power, in the anointing. We need to see people healed. The world needs to see miracles. The world needs to see God touch them outside of the building. Just a little soft in the monitors. So the spiritual gifts are divided into three major areas. They flow in the gifts. Number one, the revelation gifts. Bump your neighbor, say revelation. Openbaring, revelation gifts. That is broken up into three things. Number one, a word of wisdom. Number two, a word of knowledge. And number three, discerning of spirits. When we operate in the gifts of the Holy Ghost under the authority of Christ, we are people under authority. You have a pastor, you have a home cell leader. You're not just a cowboy. You're actually in rank. You submit to leadership. You allow people to speak into your life. You're open for correction. Then God can use you. God can't use cowboys, lone rangers. Nobody can correct them. They're not submitted under authority. They're not planted in the local church. They're not even obeying God with their offerings and their tithes. The Bible says, how can God trust you with the true riches if He can't even trust you with unrighteous mammon? I don't think you're going to prophesy and you can't even obey God with your finances. Please understand that. You're going to reach a spiritual limitation, a ceiling, a roof. You are limiting your future by not honoring God with your finances. So you have to get it right. If you are faithful with the unrighteous mammon, the worldly riches, the Bible says now God can trust you with the true riches. So when we are faithful with practical things like being faithful over the few, faithful over the 10 rand, we honor God with the 10 rand. When we are faithful with the follow-up, when we're faithful with God instructing us, when we show up, when we serve, we don't just... You know, it's sad you see home cell leaders that God calls into the, to church and to serve the house of God. Then Halfway through the year, they just decide, oh, well, I don't want to be a home cell leader. It's too busy. I'm too busy. I'm too important. You know, how can God trust you with greater things? It's a slap in God's face. You know, when you stick up your hand to, and this is important because I'm talking to young people here, all of you, 85 and younger. But you're the heart of your pastor. You know, when God gives you a responsibility, you have to act. You have to walk a certain way. You have to be an example to other people. You're an ambassador. I can't now still run with the world, drink with the world, party with the world in on a Friday and a Saturday and then Sunday. It's not that we are, and I'll talk about it in a moment. We are free in Christ, but you have to understand people are watching you now. Don't use your freedom as an excuse to backslide or to cause other people to stumble. So when we're faithful with few things that God gives us, He can entrust us with more things, greater things and greater things. The power, the anointing of God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit can operate, can come alive in our hearts. So before we can just lay hands on you and say, okay, prophesy and let God give you a word of knowledge. And I'll share some examples that God has been able to use in my life. And I don't pretend to be perfect, but I've made a point of it to be faithful with the things God asks us to be faithful with. To take care of the things God has asked us and entrusted to us. And when you're faithful with natural things, practical things, cleaning the house of God, serving faithfully when nobody's watching, then God says, okay, I can trust this person. Reading the Bible, honoring God, serving, having a good attitude with leadership, understanding that we don't worship man, but we have to honor those that have gone before us, that have paid a price. And when we do that, I'm talking to the converted here, you're talking to the choir, because you're committed, amen. You're here on a Sunday night, on a long weekend, amen. So beyond the cross, God wants us to operate and flow in the anointing with spiritual gifts. The first teaching is the revelation gifts, which is a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, and discerning of the spirits. When you leave your flesh, you've been baptized, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, now life can get exciting. You can operate in the spirit outside of the church as well, not only in the church. You can be driving to work, and the Holy Ghost will just drop a word in your spirit. God will just trust you with a revelation. God will just show you discerning of spirits. You'll just feel okay, no, or feel yes. You can just see things that most people don't see. It's not weird, it's not flaky. It's God entrusting you with more things. So never despise the day of small beginnings. If you're starting a home cell, praise God, the Lord is watching. David was in the backside of a desert watching his father's sheep. People thought it was insignificant. His brothers thought it was insignificant. But God was watching a future king of the nation. God would empower him and entrust him with the whole nation. When we are faithful in the few, when people aren't watching us, God is busy preparing us. There are strong, mighty men and women of God in this church that maybe you miss, that you don't even see. Why? Because they're behind the scenes. They're serving. They're working faithfully. That may be massive future pastors and businessmen and politicians that God is busy raising up. Why? Because they've been faithful with a few. When nobody's watching, now you see, God just decides, okay, there's my daughter. She's ready. She's been found faithful. She never quit. It's like I shared this morning, sometimes you just have to dig deeper. We have too many Christians who are shallow, fickle, back up and just go. Find themselves another church. Then they're there for 6 months, find themselves another church. Nehemiah, no, you must find a church. Get planted, get rooted. If this is where God has called you, then throw some roots. Get some depth. So word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, discerning of the spirits. These are revelation gifts that God gives to you, that nobody else can give to you. There's certain things that God will just know. I'll share the story. I was with a friend. We were evangelizing in the waterfront in Bloemfontein many years ago. We were having an argument, trying to argue with this religion. that these two people, and we're going back and forth, eventually I realized this is not working. Thank God the Holy Spirit gave me a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge. And the word of knowledge, because I couldn't understand it. I could see we're fighting in the flesh here. We are just, it's like they saying they right, we're saying we right. It's like a stalemate. But hallelujah for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. There's nobody like the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit says, ask him about his righteousness. What was that? That was a word of knowledge. I would have never known. No ways would I have known. And I asked this man with his friend, tell me about your righteousness. I'll tell you about ours. And then I started to share about the righteousness that we have in Christ. And it was as if the argument just stumbled. Obviously, the Holy Spirit knew what that man needed to hear. He was serving a false religion. They came from another country to South Africa. They came to evangelize with their religion. Hallelujah. And they found, and they were confused because their foundation wasn't right. It was a gift. It was the Holy Spirit. I've shared with you my story many years ago. I used to drive an old car. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. I had the ugliest car in the church. It was an old blue Opel Kadett 1981 model. It was 1 year older than me. No, 1 year younger. And, you know, obviously you start out, you don't have much. You know, your income is low, and you choose as a Christian to honor God with your finances. So I would tithe the little bit that I had. I would tithe the little bit that I had. I would sow into the house. The little bit that I had, I would use for petrol money for a home sale. The little bit that I have, I'd use for money to bless people. So I didn't have much. I couldn't afford a new car. And then the problem was the car locking system was a little bit old and rusty. So the one day, my car, the keys were locked inside the car, and the car was running. It's running. And this is an old car. And if this car doesn't get switched off, it overheats. It can seize. It's a problem. So I'm standing there as this young Christian. I don't know how I'm going to do this now. I can't afford to break the window. Because if I break the window, then it's going to cost me money. And at that moment, the Lord gave me a word of wisdom. Revelation gifts. And you know what he said? He said, it is already broken. I was like, huh? But the Holy Spirit was showing me the back door handle was already broken. And you say, what does that mean? I don't know. I just had the revelation. I just knew what I needed to do. I took a screwdriver. I jabbed it in the back there. I went like a click. The door opened. Hallelujah. I could jump in the back, jump in the front, switch off the car. Now for you, some of you that might not make sense, I say, does God is even into your own personal stuff as well. He will help you with your personal stuff. He'll help you with big things, with small things. I would come home on a Wednesday night after home sale. I would be there at 3 Sai, then I'd be down at the Skobelos fetching people. Many times my car ran out of petrol in the middle of Galashiewe. Now I have to trust God for somebody to come, and God will always send an angel. A lady would come and say, come, and they take me to that Shell garage and put in 10 rand and petrols I could get home. And I'd come home late after at 9, half past 9, sometimes 10 o'clock. Now I must start studying my accountancy. I'm studying through UNISA. I want to be an auditor. And now I must now get through this textbook. Oh, Jesus, help me. Thank you, God, for the word of knowledge. Thank you, God, for a word of wisdom. The Holy Spirit would show me things at nighttime. I have the overflow. The presence of God was flowing. People were getting saved on a Wednesday. Amen. I just, out of the anointing, I would just go into my textbooks. Yes, God will help you to study. And he helped me understand accounting. He even showed me things in the textbook that were mistakes. I would phone the lecturers the next day or on a Thursday and say, I just want to confirm, is this a mistake? They would say, wow, we didn't see that. Thank you very much. The Holy Spirit gave me wisdom and knowledge on how to understand accountancy, auditing. So many subjects, tax. Because it was part of my purpose. When you are smothered in the Holy Ghost, he will help you. The Holy Spirit will give you a word for your wife, for your children. He will just tell you, you just walk past, and the Holy Spirit will just drop something in your spirit. without you even thinking of it. It's called a revelation gift. Amen. How many of you would like to be used by God? How many of you would love to operate in the gifts? It's not fortune telling. And you know, the devil has his way to fortune tell. The devil has his way to manipulate people. But God has his way. It's a better way. It's authentic. It's powerful. So the revelation gifts are very important. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. You listen to a music song, and you just know in your spirit, switch the song off. Change it. This thing's not going to be good for you. It's going to take you to a dark place. It's going to take you to a place of heaviness. Or it's going to awaken love too soon. It's going to mess you up. Amen. You walk into a shop, you just feel, no. And you get out. You pray for somebody and you just know, okay, I must pray for this person about this. I must pray for this. Why? You have discerning of spirits. Am I talking French to some of you tonight? Because I feel like some of you are looking at me like I'm talking in another language. Church, this is for us. When the gifts are operating, the church grows and expands. Come on, can you see all these empty chairs on my left and my right? There are families tonight that are not saved. They're disconnected. They're cut off from the covenant blessings of God. And we're sitting with truth. We're sitting with life. And we're sitting on these gifts that God has given us, the talents, like the parable of the one talent. The guy had a talent, but he buried it. He never used it. He never activated it. You know what the great thing is about God? When you start to operate and work the gifts, God gives you more gifts. He takes from the person who's not using his gift, and he gives you now two gifts. The Bible says in Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. Take from him who did nothing and give to that one who's using something. Those who operate and expand God's kingdom, God will give you more gifts. You start off by serving as an usher. God sees that you are faithful. Your character's being shaped. You don't have a problem. God says, okay, I can trust that lady. I can trust that young boy with the gifts. I watched how he did that follow-up. I watched how he was committed to following up that one person. He never gave up on that person. Even though the person gave up on God, rejected you, laughed at you, told you to get out of your life, but you kept on praying, you kept on inviting. You think God doesn't see this stuff? Faithful over the few, ruler over much. So that's the revelation gifts. It's a revelation. You don't go looking for it. You're just moving, and all of a sudden, bam, revelation. The Holy Ghost shines a spotlight. You hear a voice. You just know that you know. You operate there. And don't get me wrong. Sometimes I got it wrong. I got to learn the voice of God by messing up so many times. That was definitely not the voice of God. But the more you practice, the more you exercise, the more you realize. And you can't practice on people. That's why God doesn't just give his gifts to anybody. He watches how faithful they are in the natural. Can you clean your bedroom? Can you clean your car? God looks at these things. If you're faithful with another man's, somebody borrowed you a bicycle, and you return it and it's clean. Not it's half flat, broken, and you give it back. That matters to the Lord. He looks at how, that's called stewardship. Stewardship. You're renting a place from somebody. You're a tenant. You're renting. You don't own the house, but you make sure the place is nice and clean and neat. And you pay your rent on time. That impresses the Lord. He sees somebody that he can entrust the spiritual gifts with. We all want to be anointed. We all want to have gifts. But it's our character that God looks at. Our pride, our arrogance, our integrity. So the revelation gifts, come on, amen. How many of you would like to be used by God with a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge? You should all say, Father, give me all the 9 gifts. The utterance gifts. Utterance gifts. If there's an area that your pastor flows in, it's the utterance gifts. Utterance. Rivers of living water will flow out of your belly. It's the heart and the mouth. The heart and the mouth. The heart and the mouth. Believe with your heart, confess with your mouth. utterance gifts includes prophecy. Now remember, the New Testament prophecy is not fortune telling. The New Testament prophecy is edification, which is encouragement. Encouragement. Edification. Exhortation. Amen. Prophecy is helping people to see things that they don't see. And it'll be confirmation. Prophecy isn't, I see you marrying a girl with blonde hair. I see her wearing night tackies. I see a 7 on her house, on her residential address. You know, that's witchcraft. Be careful. That's a familiar spirit. That's a demonic spirit. God gives us a free will, a free choice. Prophecy is you praying for somebody. They're going through a battle. God's already told them you're going to come out strong, and you're flowing in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit just confirms a scripture, Bible, written scripture. And you share it with them. And you know that it's the gifts operate in love. If you have hurt or resentment or jealousy, you will not flow in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. But if you flow in love and you want the person to be restored, and you know they're struggling in an area, and you just pray, and you just pray love and the love of God, and you'll just see things change. God will show you things, and you share it. So prophecy is powerful. Prophecy can break the chains of cycles. Prophecy is a strong word that will come from your belly. You'll be able to share it with somebody, even for yourself. You should be the number one person that should pray over yourself. Before you prophesy over other people, prophesy over yourself first. And then see, are you a false prophet? Prophecy, tongues. And three, interpretation of tongues. Don't just pray in the Spirit. Ask God to give you the interpretation of your tongues. Remember, it's interpretation. It's not word. It's not translation. It's not rombo soto loro besi. The word of the Lord. No. When people, I've been exposed to many people that float in the Spirit. Normally at the end of a service, the Spirit of God is moving. People are hungry. People have got saved. You can feel the faith in the room. You can feel that destinies are being shaped. You can feel that people, birthing is busy taking place. God is busy raising up people. He's busy destroying the works of Satan. And the service flows, and all of a sudden, the preacher or the leader just begins to flow in the Spirit and begins to pray in tongues. Rombro sitiliraba, sandalaraba. And as they are led by the unction of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit just gives the interpretation of it, and will then bring it in. Many times we have a prayer meeting, we're praying in the Holy Ghost. We're praying in the Holy Spirit. We're just praying. The Bible says we know not what to pray. Romans 8, verse 26. We do not know what to pray, so we pray in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you bypass your natural reasoning and intellect. You are praying the perfect will of God. You're flowing in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. You are praying Rabba Sunday. Sometimes you're even prophesying. You don't even know it. And then all of a sudden it drops in your spirit what you've been praying. And then you start declaring it so people in the room can hear and agree and receive it. That's what builds the church. That's encouragement. So we all need to pray in the Holy Ghost. We all need to have tongues. But this is, there's a greater. Why not pray for the interpretation of the tongues? So those are the utterance gifts. And then the power gifts. The gift of faith. How many of you would love to have the gift of faith? Well, I want to tell you, this church has the gift of faith. The gift of healing. Don't show your hand, don't raise your hands, but how many of you have actually laid hands on a sick person and really trusted God that they would get healed? Have you done it? Pastor, I'm too scared because maybe I pray for them and they never get healed. Well, again, you won't know unless you go. So take a mature Christian with you. Don't prophesy by yourself. Take a mature Christian with you. The Bible says, judge, test the spirit. Test the prophecy. If you're shy and nervous, lay your hands on somebody. You begin to look for sick people. Look for sick people. If you have absolute no desire for it, you have absolute no faith for it, okay, fine, then ask God for, find a gift that you really do have the faith for, that excites you. But most of us, the Bible says the faith and the authority of the believers, Mark 16, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So you as a Christian, you should look for sick people. Not only Christians, but worldly people. People who are not saved. Say, hey, can I pray for you? And you pray for them. And they feel, wow, thank you. What was that? That's the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm a Christian. I go to church. Would you like to come with me on Sunday? Or you can share your testimony. And the more you exercise it, the Bible says, by reason of use. In other words, the more you practice it, the better you become. The more you learn to hear the voice of God, the more you fine-tune your ear. When you start playing a sport, you're not just all of a sudden talented. You have to hone in your gifts. You have to get sharper and smarter. But the root of the gifts is love. The greatest of these is love. Hope, faith, and love. That's the summary of all that God has for us. The Holy Ghost is there to give us hope. He's there to give us love. He's there to give us faith. Amen. Somebody prays for you and you leave feeling depressed, you feel heavy, you feel like, oh my word, I'm confused. Well, then you have to test the Spirit. You have to reject it. So the power gifts, number one, is faith. You know, when we entered into this building project, and your pastor has faith because I've had to develop my faith, like you have as well. I have to read the Bible. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. As a young Christian, I had to get faith in my heart. I had to listen, I had to learn the Bible, listen to preaching, listen to teachers about faith. How does faith operate? How do you work in faith? The Bible says, take up the shield of faith by which you will be able to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. The Bible says, this is the victory that overcomes this world. It is our faith. So faith is necessary. You have to operate in faith every day. Your faith is important. The opposite of faith is fear. Or you can say love. The opposite of fear is love and faith. The two power twins, faith and love, they operate together. Faith and love. And when we started this building project, Pastor told me as well, you see, when you start, God will give you the gift of faith. And I really felt us as a church, God gave us a supernatural gift of faith to pull the trigger, to sign the contract. Here we go, the building project, here we go. We don't have all the money, but you have to make sure God's with you and God gives you the gift of faith. When I started my business back in 2005, I had to resign from my work and move to nothing. No, I didn't move to nothing. I moved by the gift of faith. God gave me a rhema. I had a scripture. I had a promise. Something in me was alive. My spirit was alive. I learned to move into the spirit realm and pull down the promises of God that He had for me. You have to do that, Christian. You have to operate. You have to activate. You have to faith. You have to flex your faith muscles. Otherwise, you're going to be knocked to and fro. You're going to be led by this world. You're going to be a slave to money or to what this world has for you. They need the gift of faith. You're going to do anything big for God. You're going to have to activate the gift of faith. And it doesn't leave you. It's there. It's a gift. It's inside of you. The gift of healing. You have to go boldly with faith, loving that person, knowing that sickness is not of God. Your doctrine is messed up. If you don't believe that sickness is not from God, you're not going to heal people. You're not going to lay hands on people. You're going to think, well, it's God teaching this person a lesson. No, God doesn't reward us according to our sins. He doesn't repay us according to how we've messed up in life. The Bible is clear about that. Healing. Amen. How many of you want to be healers? Now, don't get me wrong. God uses doctors. I've seen my dad years ago, before, because my dad's in heaven, but my father, who was a bass player. He used to, he was a left-hand bass player, and he was an auto electrician. He needed his hands to work. And there was a time when his hand started to go like this. The muscle was pulling in. It was a problem because it affected everything. The way he played music, the way he would work, it was his income. And the one night, because I was still living with my parents at that stage, and I just felt I must pray for my dad. I said, "Dad, give me your hand," and I just pray for him. Nothing happened. His arm didn't miraculously go, "Oh, wow, I'm healed." But it was incredible. 2 weeks later, how God brought a doctor, a friend of his, that actually operated on his hand and healed his hand. So it doesn't matter how the healing comes. It can be instant. It can be through a doctor. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, healing must come. What set it in motion? God used me as simple and as small as what I am. I would just go and pray for my dad. What about you? How many opportunities have we missed? God brings people across our path, and we're so busy. We're so caught up in our lives that we had an opportunity to pray for somebody. Word of knowledge to just share, help them with an answer. God's not going to give you a word of knowledge for the lotto numbers, okay? I know, because I tried. Years ago, I said, "Oh God, please help me. Give us the lotto numbers. I promise you, Lord, I'll tithe." That's the world system. God doesn't... Don't go down that road. Because if that thing comes through, then the next thing is you're going to go to the tables at the Flamingo Casino, and you're going to open up yourself to a lying spirit. Okay. And then lastly, the working of miracles. The working of miracles. Miracles is not only healing. There are many other miracles. I've seen financial miracles constantly. Obviously, in this building project, I've seen how God has wiped out debt. I've seen the working of miracles. I've seen how God has worked mightily. And I want you to experience it as well as your pastor. I'm not special. I've just decided, Lord, use me. Beyond the cross, God is waiting for you to have a desire. Say, "God, I desire the spiritual gifts. Desire the gifts. I wanted to pray in tongues." Two of my friends started to pray in tongues. And I was like, "Wow, what's this?" And they began to pray in the Holy Ghost. And I thought, "Lord, but you're no respecter of persons." And I began to hunger and thirst and desire. I would wake up early. I would pray in tongues. I would ask God to help me to pray in tongues, to baptize me. And praise God, after 6 months, because I was in my head, I was an analytical person. 1 + 1 = 2. Thank God the day I got the tongues. Kimberly needs a touch from Jesus Christ. A real, authentic, anointed, powerful touch of God. They don't need more religion. They don't need the pointing of the finger, judgment. "Oh, you sinners." What they need is they need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I saw how God touched my mother. I saw God touch my father. God touched my sister, my cousins. Because of the love. The love of God that compels us to go and change our world. Thank God He used me. I want you to know God's no respecter of person. And I wasn't a pastor then. I was an article clerk. Accountant. A trainee accountant. Special like all of you. Whatever your career, whatever your age, whatever your background, I didn't have a lot of Bible. I didn't have theological training. I just said, "Lord, here I am, use me." We should desire the spiritual gifts. We should operate in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And yes, we should be accountable. Be careful to become flaky and weird. But just because there's the false, that doesn't mean we mustn't operate in the authentic. Test it. Do what I did. I was a youngster. Got filled with the Holy Spirit. Started to pray in tongues. Then I went to a Christian camp here outside Kimberley. A lot of traditional people. A lot of some religious people. I was young. I was 20. And I went back to this conference. We're worshiping. And while we're in the worship, the Holy Spirit gives me like almost a prophetic word. as a young man, I'm like, wow. And this thing doesn't want to leave me. Doesn't want to leave me. I said, Lord, I'm not going to say this. People are going to think I'm crazy. It was 3,000 young people from all over the country. Yeah, at Fray Regna, Dia Gloria, worshiping. And this thing is from, I said, Lord, I'm not going. God, you're going to have to make this open because I don't want to be flaky. I don't want to be weird. But I sense you put the, God had to first teach me how to break the spirit of intimidation. A lot of gifts are dormant in people because of the spirit of fear. God had to, I was reading a book called Breaking Intimidation. Breaking the spirit of intimidation, the opinions of men. Let me just pause. I'll close with this. I had a friend who was working at PwC. She was the opposite race. She wasn't white, and she needed a date for her year-end function at the audit firm. And she asked me, and my first natural reaction was, I don't like, not that I don't like her. She was a Christian friend. And I said, no. I'm like, no, there's a lot of racists in that company. What do they think about me? And I'm going through this whole process. And the Holy Spirit reminds me, you're not a racist, but you're intimidated by people. And I thought, that's true. So I said, okay, yes, I'm going to go with you to your ball, to your year-end function. Amen. It didn't help that she got dressed like almost in a wedding dress. That wasn't easy, I must say. I'm like, Jesus, no, please. Not a racist, but intimidated by the opinions of men. I went with her as a friend. We weren't dating, but she needed a date, so I went with, and I was old enough. I'm going on dates if you're 15, because I could handle myself. I wouldn't be tempted. As we came around the corner, there's everybody. You can see how they were skinnering. They were talking because they knew me. But thank God, broke off the spirit of intimidation. Then it was a few weeks later, I'm at this conference where God drops the gift in me. And because I was able to confront the spirit of intimidation, now God could use me. The gifts, the Bible says, God has not given you a spirit of fear or a spirit of timidity, but He's given you a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. As it says, stir up the gift. The gifts of God are lying in us, but they're dormant because we are intimidated. We fear what man thinks about us. You can never be operated or used by God if you're still intimidated or caught up in the fear of man. The fear of man will put you in a box your whole life. So yeah, I'm in the conference. I know God's speaking to me. I'm like, Lord, I'm going to do this, but don't make a fool of me, please. They're going to have to. And then all of a sudden the service, the coordinator comes up on the microphone and he says, we want all the leaders of the different churches to come forward. I said, okay, Lord, I see what's happening. So I come forward. Now, I'm not a leader. And I tell them, I submit it. I tell the coordinator, the project manager of the whole conference, he's an elderly man. I say, sir, I really feel I have a word of encouragement for this camp. But I'm not just going to take the mic and be disrespectful and be out of line. I submit it to you. He says, well, go speak to the big coordinator there. So now the conference is on. Yeah, I'm outside going to the guy. I say, listen, this is who I am. I love Jesus. I really fell and I submit everything the Lord showed me. And I tell him, and he calls another guy and they talk and they say, no, yes, you must share it. And the moment comes and the guy says, okay, we have a word for this camp. And they're all looking and yeah, I come up and it was like this thing, this river of living water just boiled out my ears. I don't know how else to say it. And I said words I'd never even heard in my life before. I spoke with such good English because it was very much an English crowd. I was like, Lord, where did that come from? And I was just obedient. That's how you do it. That's how you be led by the Holy Ghost. That's how your ear opens up. You will hear a voice and you can move and operate in it. There are people in this city that need to get saved and they're waiting for your obedience. Say hallelujah of itzy, of amen. The Holy Spirit knows best. The love of the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Listen, I'm going to tell you when you've witnessed with somebody and you see they repent, you've laid hands on somebody and you can see how they're feeling better. There's just this joy that comes into your life. You're just so thankful. You get on your knees and say, Father, thank you. When you see people get saved, when you've had a great home cell, when you know you've given the devil a blue eye, when you've seen people that were in bondage repent and just get saved. Amen. When you've just been led by God, used by God, and you see the fruit, I tell you what, it's the greatest joy. Maybe nobody's there to witness, but you and the Lord are having a moment. You're having a moment. You and the Father, the Creator of heaven and earth. You're busy having fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Some of the greatest times I've had is just me and the Holy Spirit. Come on, CRC family. Hunger and desire the spiritual gifts. God will take you places. But it starts off being faithful with a few. Do the follow-up. Honor God with your finances. The Bible says, I want to just quickly close with this, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21 to 22. Romans 12 verse 1 says, present your body as a living sacrifice. I spoke this morning about you need a house, you need an altar, and you need a well. You have to dig the well. You need an altar. In the Old Testament, they would go to the altar. In the New Testament, you are the altar. But nevertheless, this is an altar. The altar is a very special place, a place of surrender, a place of worship, a place of giving, a place of serving. It's a place when we're really desperate with God to move in our lives. I remember there are days in my life that I've really needed God. I really needed God. And I just felt I needed more. So I would come to church or I'd separate myself, really just seek God. The altar is a very important place. The Bible says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Ephesians 2 verse 21 to 22 says, in Him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him you too are being built together to become a church living in which God lives. It's the corporate anointing. The Holy Spirit wants to be poured out in your life like never before. God will even show you where the discounts are. Yes. The Holy Spirit showed me many times. Hey, there's a discount here. You say, will God show you a discount? Yes, He will. If you plugged in, tuned into the Holy Ghost, He'll tell you everything. The more you fellowship with the Holy Spirit, He'll show you things to come. You'll be led by, the Bible says, those who are led by the Spirit, those are the sons of God. Amen. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. Amen. So you're sitting here today. Maybe you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never had an opportunity to get saved. I've shared with you my life, some simple examples, but we must know that we're free to choose, but you're stuck with the consequences. You can choose to live your life or you can choose to surrender your life to Jesus. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death. It's a very simple statement, but what it means is that you can choose your path, but you might not necessarily know the way that the path will end. You might not know how your life will end. You might not know where it leads, but God knows where your life leads. God wants to have you come under the influence of His Spirit, not the influence of this world. Not the influence of your family only, but the influence of God Himself. He will lead you. He'll guide you. He will take you to the places where you need to be. And Jesus Himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through the Son. The miracle of what happened on the cross, sometimes we can't even fully comprehend, but the Holy Ghost will show you that you need a Savior, that you're a sinner. He will convict you, not condemn you. He will convict you that you need to deal with sin once and for all. That no man can wash himself of his own sin. No man can purify himself. You can't go to the store and buy a cleansing agent. There's no Jik or Omo that can take away that stain of sin. Even though they can take out stains in your clothes, they can never remove the stain of sin. Only one thing can do, and that is Jesus. And surrendering your life to Jesus, that's what breaks the power of sin. Humbling yourself, saying, Jesus, here I am, use me. He took the path that led to death so we could take the path that leads to life. We all live in a life, in a world. Thank God for the undo button on the computer. You make a mistake and you click on undo. If you have an Apple iPhone, perhaps you didn't know, it was a big revelation. When you type something or delete it and you want to undo it, you literally shake your cell phone and then it's this button pops up, says undo or cancel. Then I say undo, and then all the mistakes you did, you can just undo that. There's a reset button. Life, unfortunately, is not so. There's certain things you cannot undo. You choose and you sit with the consequences. That's why we have to choose wisely. We live life forward, we understand it backwards. We should never live a life outside of God's plan for our life. So while we're sitting here today, I just want every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody moving around. We live in a control plus Z world. Delete the text, unsend the email, return the shirt that is too big. We assume all choices have a refund policy. In the Bible, there are many examples of people who made mistakes and never chose for God to intervene in their lives, and so they had no undo button, even with tears. When we stand before God one day and we haven't repented of our sins, there's no time now to repent. There's no time to say, God, help me. While we are alive today, we're in a season of grace. To say, Jesus, come into my heart. Until then, we live for ourselves. Don't make that mistake. You're too valuable to just go through life navigating, trying to figure it out without God. The Holy Spirit is here to convict us today that we need Jesus. And guess what? God can undo a lot of mistakes that we've done. The blood of Jesus is here to forgive us. So while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you say, Pastor, that's me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I've made mistakes. I can't wash myself with them. Only God can. Yes, He can. Then allow me to pray with you. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, believers are praying. If there's a stirring in your heart, you say, that's me. I want to make right with God. Then quietly, unashamedly, why don't you just slip up your hand right now. Just lift it up. Say, Pastor, please pray for me. Thank you. God bless you. Donkey. Amen. Thank you. There's a stirring in your heart. You know God is calling you. God has more for you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You can put down your hands. Family, why don't you look at me? Can we all please stand up? We're going to sing a song. I want every person, please, that has raised their hand, or maybe you didn't raise your hand, you know God is calling you to come. God is drawing you to the altar, a place of surrender, a place of new beginnings. So while we listen to and while we sing a beautiful song, I want us to all please, those of you that raised your hands, make your way to the nearest aisle and just come and meet me here. Just come. Come on, let's cheer them on. Come, come, come. Please come forward. Just come. It's a new beginning for you. If you need to turn to your neighbor without embarrassing them, just say, hey, if you want to go, I'll come with you. The Bible is full of stories of friends and family members. I did that to my sister. I'll never forget it. The 28th of February 2000, I brought my sister to church. The pastor said, if there's anybody, bring them forward. I looked at my sister and said, amen, I'll come with you. I put my arm around my sister and we came. Come on, just come. Just come. Ask your neighbor.
Set you free, so run to the altar.
Yes, ask your neighbor. Draai om en vra. Turn to the person next to you, say, if you want to go, I respect your will. I won't force my will on you. But if you're ready, I'll come with you. Come on, just turn to your neighbor. Turn to the person behind you. You're in a safe environment. It's the church of Jesus. It's not a walk of shame. It's a walk. Come on, there's some of you. Yes, just come. Just come. Just come. Donkey. Praise the Lord. Come, 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 come. Thank you.
Run to the arms of Jesus. And there is new life. There is freedom. Run to the one that can set you.
Amen. Why don't you stretch out your hands toward these wonderful people? I'm going to ask you to place your hand on your heart. Slow it down. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, this evening I repent of all my sins. And I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. From this day forward, I acknowledge that I need a Savior. Wash me with your blood. Thank you for a new beginning. I believe you're the Son of God. You died on a cross for all my sins. You went to hell, conquered the grave, and on the third day, Father resurrected you. I put my faith and trust in you. All the days of my life, from this day forward, I belong to you. I'm a child of God. I'm born again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.